What's up, sunshine? I'm Coy Wire here with your 10 minutes of news and a teacher time Tuesday this February 3rd. Shout out to all the educators and mentors out there for informing and inspiring us. Give your teacher a handshake, a high five, or a salute. Let them know I see you. Strong set of stories for you today. Only 10 minutes to do it, so let's get to it. We start in Minnesota, where federal officials say they are working toward a, quote, drawdown of immigration enforcement operations in the state. It follows weeks of growing tensions in Minneapolis, where immigration agents have drawn heavy criticism from residents over their tactics. That includes the detention of a 5-year-old pre-K student who was detained earlier this month along with his dad. They were sent to a facility across the country in Texas. The child's father is originally from Ecuador. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security says Immigration and Customs Enforcement did not target or arrest the young boy and said his mother refused to take him and that his father told officers he wanted the boy to stay with him while being apprehended. The incident drew nationwide frustration and concern, and over the weekend, a federal judge ordered their immediate release, calling the detention illegal. Soon after, the two returned to Minnesota. However, their legal fight over their future may just be getting started. Our Julia Vargas Jones has more.
Liam Conejo Ramos and his father Adrian are now back in Minnesota. That's according to Congressman Joaquin Coster, who posted on X that yesterday, 5-year-old Liam and his dad Adrian were released from Dilley Detention Center. I picked them up last night and escorted them back to Minnesota this morning. Liam is now home with his hat and his backpack. Thank you to everyone who demanded freedom for Liam. We won't stop until all children and families are home. And the congressman then posted a number of photos of the journey of Liam with his dad, the travels, and then Liam at home, and also a handwritten note where he says, Liam, welcome home. I know the past 2 weeks have been very rough, to say the least. No child should have to go through what you endured. Liam's school district also posted a statement saying that they are so happy that Liam and his father have returned home to be reunified with his mother, brother, and our community. Now, at the same time, on Sunday, the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, said that the government will appeal the decision of this Texas judge, saying that there is a question of whether or not Liam and his family had been going through the legal proceedings of immigration. Now, an attorney for the family had told CNN that Liam and his family did enter the United States in December 2024 in Texas and immediately applied for asylum. They said that they were following all the established protocols, pursuing their claim for asylum, showing up for the court hearings, and posed no safety or flight risk and should never have been detained. Now, in the decision from the judge in West Texas who ordered the release of Liam and his father, the judge went through a scathing review, really a blistering criticism of how the federal government has been conducting its immigration enforcement actions. This judge went as far as to include a picture of Liam in the decision, and then quoting verses from the Bible. Again, the government now saying that he will be appealing the decision from this judge. The judge's argument, though, not necessarily that Liam and his father should not be deported if an immigration court does find their application to be insufficient. What this judge was asking for was solely a, quote, orderly and humane policy.
One of the biggest nights for music came with some major high notes this past Sunday. The Grammy Awards wrapped up in Los Angeles with milestone moments stretching across genres, generations, and languages. It was an historic moment for Puerto Rican artist Bad Bunny, who won Album of the Year with Debí Tirar Más Fotos. The win marked the first time a fully Spanish language album has received the award in the Grammys' 68-year run. In his acceptance speech, Bad Bunny spoke about his love for his roots and called for unity and compassion. The hit song Golden from the animated movie K-pop Demon Hunters won Best Song Written for Visual Media, marking the first Grammy win for the K-pop genre. The human singers behind the animated characters reacted with excitement, calling the moment surreal, celebrating what it means for K-pop fans around the world. Rap history was made. Kendrick Lamar won 5 awards that night, including Record of the Year, with his song Luther featuring SZA, pushing his career total to 27 Grammys, most ever by a rapper. And one of the youngest history makers of the night was just 8 years old. Ara V won Best Children's Music Album alongside her father, Fuch, for their album Harmony. That win makes Ara V the youngest individually credited Grammy winner ever. From record-breaking legends to first-time winners, this year's Grammys highlighted how music can break barriers and bring people together. Pop quiz hotshot, women's ice hockey made its Olympic debut at which Winter Games? Lillehammer in 94, Nagano in 98, Salt Lake City in 02, or Vancouver in 2010? Not gonna get anything past you if you said Nagano. The U.S. women's team took home gold in the first ever Olympic women's hockey tournament, but their fierce rivals, Canada, hold the most medals in the sport. The 2026 Winter Olympics is fast approaching and the countdown is on for athletes and fans around the world ahead of the opening ceremony, which is on Friday. And these games feature some truly trailblazing Olympians, and I can't wait to share their stories with you. We spoke with Team USA's Layla Edwards, a rising hockey star who is preparing for her very first Olympics, and she is determined to open doors for others along the way.
One of my main focuses is paving the way for future generations. I think I've been, you know, gifted that role and that position to have an impact on people and to continue to pave the way for, you know, minorities and honestly anyone, but more specifically minorities, because this is not a sport where minorities are seen often. So I think as of now, I'm just doing the best I can to make the game more inclusive. I've dreamt of competing in the Olympics for about 12 years now. My dad played hockey when he was younger, so as soon as I could even crawl, he had me in skates. Being a trailblazer has definitely been a privilege. It's been overwhelming at times, but a long time ago I decided to take it and run with it. So do what I can to benefit as many people as I can with it. And I could have shied away from it and not made it a goal of mine to help others, but that's just not how I'm wired. I mean, there are times where I didn't see anyone at the highest levels looking like me, so I would have some doubt here and there, but I persevered, and I think it's just so important, you know, to have that someone that looks like you. It literally shows that you can do it too. A little black girl sitting at home and sees me on the TV playing at the Olympics, she's like, wow, you know, Layla did it, I can do it too, or Layla plays hockey, maybe I can try it out and see how I like it. Just simple things like that, and just to be that representation is really important. As much as I want to embrace, you know, being that role model and being a minority in this game, I also want to just be seen for who I am as a player. So to be recognized as that after games is refreshing, and it makes me feel good that I'm also known for my ability on the ice and my leadership and my athletic ability, anything like that. I think it's comforting. To make my first Olympics still doesn't feel real yet. It's something I've literally thought about almost every day. I want to represent my country the highest level, playing the sport I love. Winning an Olympic medal, it's crazy to even think about. For it to be a possibility, I'm very grateful, but to win one would mean the world and would mean that, you know, I've done something right in this long process, but yeah, it would be unbelievable.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, one budding sports reporter getting a super opportunity that'll bowl you over. 9-year-old Patriots super fan Louis DeVito is getting the chance of a lifetime after winning a nationwide contest. He's headed to Super Bowl 60 as this year's kid reporter. Louis beat out a crowd of nearly 200,000 for the gig, and he crushed the audition.
I have some fun questions to ask if I had the chance to talk with an NFL player. When you were a kid, did you ever get in trouble for playing football in your house? Well, no, my mom does not like it.
Now, Louis and his dad get to cheer on their hometown Patriots in person while the rest of the family will watch from home.
There's quite a lot of jealousy, but it's overall, they've handled it pretty well.
He'll even have a chance to go one-on-one with his favorite player, Patriots quarterback Drake May. And you better believe he has questions ready to go.
I was also going to ask Drake May, from one picky eater to another, what's his favorite pregame meal?
Hut hut! From one sports reporter to another, good luck to you, Lewis. I know you will crush it, but please don't come for my job. Thank you very much. All right, superstars, two shout-outs for you today. First one goes to Mr. Verlon at Orange Lutheran High School in Orange, California. Thank you for subscribing to our CNN 10 YouTube channel. You rock. And this shout-out goes around the world to Mrs. Swisher at Netzeberg Middle School in Eschenbach, Germany. Thank you for including us in your classroom, and thank you for your service teaching all those awesome students on the military base there. All right, tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday. Submit your unique vocabulary word and definition and put it in the comment section of our latest post on Instagram, at CoyWire or at CNN10, and we will choose one lucky winner to work into tomorrow's show. You will help us write the show. Good luck. Have an awesome day, everyone. I'll see you right here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.